Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are going to talk about the Alzheimer's Association, what's available around here, and really get into some of the things that things you may notice when you see loved ones for the first time in a long time over the holidays. And we're going to get into all of that today, and some of the things to look for, and some of the things that you can do, and maybe some of the steps that you'll have to take in the future. Lori Meyer's back with us with the local Alzheimer's Association office. Lori, good morning.
Good morning, Ted.
And Cindy Bowen is here. She was the Alzheimer's the Walk to End Alzheimer's one of the chairman of the Walk, and Cindy is here this morning. Cindy, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
We are glad to have you here. Before we get into a lot of just the things to look for over the holidays and that kind of thing, when you were last here, Cindy, it was getting ready for the Walk. The Walk was wildly successful.
The Walk was very successful. The day of the Walk, we had raised $130,000, and since then, we have raised another $15,000. And we are trying to hit another 5,000 before the end of the year for an all-time high here in Fredericksburg.
That's fantastic, especially with a lot of groups have had trouble with fundraising this year just because of concerns about the economy and all, and people really stepped up and came forward.
They really have. We've had a lot of support in the community as well as individuals.
By the end of the year, what do you hope to be at as far as the number goes?
We hope the number will be $150,000.
Wow. Wow, Lori, that's
amazing.
Fantastic.
Oh, I mean, it's just awesome. What a giving community we have. What a great development committee we have as well that just put this all together and really got the word out. We recently had, this past Saturday, we had our pancake breakfast and silent auction. Mm-hmm. Our friends at Chancellor's Village, this is the fourth year we've done that. And with that fundraiser, we were able to be at the $145,000 fundraising goal as of Saturday. So thank you so much to Chancellor's Village and everybody on our development committee. Mm. Great teamwork.
Well, Cindy, this is the kind of issue. It's like cancer. You know somebody or you know of someone, and there can only be a few families that somewhere and somehow haven't been touched by Alzheimer's.
Unfortunately, if you haven't been touched, you probably will be in the future. It's so widespread, and it just seems to be growing every day.
And to get this kind of money, this is, Lori, you always talk about, this is the kind of, this is the disease where when you get it, there's no cure right,
right
now.
Right now, we do not have the cure. And that's our vision, really, is a goal without Alzheimer's and other types of dementia. So with the fundraising that occurs, a portion of that goes to research. We are the largest nonprofit funder of research. We have a trial match program. So some of these monies that are raised will go directly towards getting that cure. And it's so vital that we get it as soon as possible.
So, Cindy, if someone wants to give and become part of this before the end of the year, is there a website to go to, or is there what should people do?
They can go on the website, alz.org, and they can look for the Fredericksburg Walk and just make a donation. They can go by just about any assisted living communities here in town and drop off a check there. They can always call Lori and give her a donation as well.
So lots of opportunities. Boy, Lori, it's really is nice to see the people step forward with something like this, because it's like we say, it's such a horrible disease.
Yes, like Cindy was saying, people are being affected by it. I think people are more willing to talk about their personal experience and the fact that, hey, you know, this is an issue for my family or for perhaps that person individually. So the stigma is being peeled away. And as we do that, I think people are more willing to talk about it, more willing to get involved.
Yeah, no, you're right. Just even in the past when you brought Barb Cole in,
yes,
with early onset Alzheimer's, people are willing to talk about it more. It used to be harder to find people like yourself that could come in and talk about Alzheimer's.
I think you're right, and so we've come a long way, not only in understanding those disease processes a little more, but just talking about it. People willing to say, hey, you know, I do need help. And this disease becomes too big for one person to manage or one family. Mm-hmm. So being able to reach out is a sign of strength, and there is help.
Cindy, if a person missed the walk this year, start making plans or in your mind, think about next fall, I want to get involved with the walk. There's nothing like the Alzheimer's walk with the different color of the balloons that people have, or they have they walk with pictures of loved ones, and it's really a community gets together that day.
Yeah, and it's bigger than that day. With the development committee Lori was talking about, we have really tried to make it a year-long project to just grow the awareness of Alzheimer's. We were downtown painting it purple. We've done mm-hmm. silent auctions throughout the year. So people will see more and more of it as we go on.
That's good. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that, Lori, that you've come in a couple times over the year and have talked about events that were going to be going on in town.
Right. So, the idea, certainly we want to know them to know about the walk because it is our largest fundraiser, and it is a great awareness. But the idea of us meeting year round as a development committee to create that awareness more often with different programs and fundraisers.
Before we get into all the holiday things and some of the signs and everything, you do a lot. The local office here provides a lot of helps.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about what you provide and then also how people can get in touch with
you. Okay, definitely. Yeah, we have some core services that we provide. We are here locally. The local Fredericksburg office is out of the Greater Richmond chapter, but we're right in downtown Fredericksburg. Nationally, we have a 24/7 helpline. And it's a helpline that you can call day or night for questions. It can be a family member, or it can be a community partner. It can be anybody that has a question about any type of dementia. We also do what we call a care consultation. So that can look like somebody calling on the phone with questions. This is where we are. Where are the resources? Or it could actually be an office appointment that they set up. Mm-hmm. Everything is at no charge, but setting up that appointment and talking about where that family might be at in the journey and providing them with information, plugging them into, okay, who in the community can partner with us. We also have community education programs. I just did a program this past week, the 10 Warning Signs, Early Detection Matters. So we really want to be out there with the rotaries and the churches, anywhere we can get the information out so people understand. And we also have those programs for families where if they are dealing with the dementia, we can specifically get into some education for where they are in the journey. Our support groups are wonderful. We have some great support group leaders. Once a week throughout the month, we have a support group available. We also encourage our trial match program, our safe return medic alert. Mm-hmm. That's an identification bracelet. We know that 6 out of 10 folks with any type of dementia could wander, get confused on a walk, perhaps driving. So that bracelet is an identification system where we can then make sure that person is reunited with family. And then lastly would be the trial match program where we're connecting folks with those trials that are out there. So, we want to be information and referral out, support, just that general go-to place you can go with any question that you have.
The 24/7 hotline, yeah. The national hotline, what do you know, you have that number?
Oh, yeah. So it's a 1-800-272-3900. Day okay. or night, Thanksgiving Day, 2 in the morning, people are staffed 24/7 to answer that call and walk you through whatever that question might be.
And if someone wants to get a hold of you?
Locally, 540-370-0835, and I now have an extension 8407. So you'll be prompted to put that in there, but stick with it.
Yeah.
We'll call you back, or we'll answer that phone if we're there.
Yeah, boy, I'm sure when there are a number of hard calls you have to take, but especially that first when someone's contacting you for the first time.
Yes.
Because they've had the diagnosis.
Right, and you know what? That is such a huge step. To place that phone call, it's a sign of strength. People are reaching out, but it's so vital with that diagnosis to just, get the education, but also the emotional support that you really need to kind of wrap your head around the diagnosis and what that means. And then for someone to be able to walk that journey with you. So we may get that call that they just got the diagnosis, but we sometimes hear from families that have been dealing with it for a while and seem to have managed okay, but they kind of are at a fork in the road. Maybe more care is needed.
Yeah.
Something else is happening, and we'll get that call at that time. We will meet people wherever they are, but you're right. It can be in a variety of stages and situations.
Lori Myers here. Cindy Bowen is here. We're talking about the work of the Alzheimer's Association. What's available in this community? When we come back, we'll get into some of those 10 warning signs and just talk about situations that you may encounter over the next over the holidays and how to deal with them. More on the Alzheimer's Association on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Lori Myers and Cindy Bowen here. We're talking about the Alzheimer's Association. Cindy was one of the walk chairmen for the walk this past fall. Have you already set the date, Cindy, for next year's walk?
We have not. We coordinate it with Gloucester as well as Richmond.
Okay.
So that the Richmond market, the radio station, really gives us a lot of airtime. So we have to wait until we can coordinate all three.
It's always, though, in September or early October kind of thing.
Yes, it is.
Was it October this year, wasn't it?
It was October 17th?
15th.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, yeah. Sometime in the fall, and if you have any connection to Alzheimer's or know of someone, I mean, it's really, really a great event. Lori Myers is the local Alzheimer's Association office. You were just talking about why don't we jump into some of the 10 warning signs?
Boy, the
holidays are a time you may not have seen someone for a year, mm-hmm. You may not have seen them since summer, and at some time or another, you're going to start noticing things,
right.
Unfortunately.
So let's say you saw mom over the summer and you go to visit at Thanksgiving and you're just picking up on something's different. Maybe she's not as kept as she usually is. She's looking a little disheveled. Maybe the house, which is always tidy, doesn't appear to be as well kept. You know, you may look at her and think, gosh, she looks like she's lost a little bit of weight. You know, there may be something mm-hmm. like that you pick up on. It could just be during a conversation. Maybe there's some repetitive statements, some things asked again. Maybe even in the kitchen, there's food in the refrigerator that is a bit old. Basically, what you might be seeing is a change in her level of functioning. Mom was always a 10. Things were tidy. And now we're just seeing some things that look a little bit different. And so we want to kind of ask ourselves, you know, why does she appear thinner? You know, maybe there's some issues with cooking. Because really, you know, when you think about a cognitive change, it has to do with your thinking and your ability to maybe do those familiar tasks that previously you've always done, whether it's cooking a meal, doing the laundry, going to the grocery store, all those things that when our brain is working and it's healthy, we manage those things without even really thinking about it. Let's get the groceries. Yeah. Let's get them in. We need to cook that meatloaf tonight. So all of those things that we've always done now might become a challenge because our cognitive abilities are changing. So maybe mom's not cooking as much. Maybe she's doing a quick soup and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. The nutrition might not be there because she's not remembering how to create that meal. Or maybe laundry that, you know, she's been doing for years. Maybe she's not doing it as often. Maybe she's not as aware of her the way that she appears. So she's maybe putting on clothes that aren't clean. So those are the kinds of things that would certainly be a red flag to me. And I certainly would want to maybe look at that a little bit closer.
And I guess if you notice that kind of thing, the first thing you don't want to do is just become panicky and all of a sudden start peppering her with questions.
Right, because that's probably going to upset mom. And she may, you know, it's often very common not to have that insight that there's even an issue. So certainly, you know, finding out, you know, gosh, when was the last time mom, you know, was at the doctor? Could she be have an infection? Could there mm-hmm. be something going on that's changed her functioning right now? So we don't want to automatically assume that there's a dementia disease process, but we certainly want to pick up on, you know, maybe while we're there, you know, making sure that we help tidy things up and get an idea of maybe, you know, what are her prescriptions look like? What's she taking? Is she taking them regularly? Because truthfully, if you're not taking your medication regularly, that could create some confusion mm-hmm. and some changes too. So it's all kind of tied into, gosh, maybe we just need to take a closer look at how she's managing it at home with some of those things.
And a lot of these things you can't pick up over the phone because if you ask your parents how are things going, they're always going to say, oh, it's great. Everything's
yeah.
fine.
We're fine. So that five or 10 minute phone call when someone still is verbal and is socially appropriate in their response is not going to give you that. You know, you're not going to get that sense. And that often happens if there's family living far away. And let's say you live near mom and dad, you may be saying to family, I'm concerned, I see some issues. But if that family member's not visiting and they're just talking to him on the phone, they're going to say, well, I just talked to her on Sunday and she was fine.
She was fine, right.
No issues. And that also happens when they go to the doctor as well. If there's some early warning signs and they're going in for a physical, if they're there on their own, and the doctor says, well, how you been doing, Mrs. Jones? I'm fine. And so in 10 or 15 minutes, everybody just walks out feeling, you know, really
fine.
Good about it, when in fact, there may be some things happening, but they just, you know, it's not obvious.
And maybe the person, who the family member that lives close, maybe too close,
right.
And
yeah.
may not be picking up on things. And then that's where you can start talking and saying, hey, have you noticed such
right.
and such?
So it could be that the holidays, you know, although obviously the holidays are a time to get together, but it also may be a time when everyone is together where we can talk about some of these things and just try to figure out, connect the dots a little bit to that loved one that's living close by and the family that's in from out of town, and maybe just talk about what the next step might be. It could be just encouraging mom to get a good physical.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's time to go in and get our prescriptions refilled. That might be an opportunity to just go make sure there isn't, you know, something else going on.
Yeah. Don't necessarily just jump to all of these conclusions and on right. you know, the weekend that you see her that you've decided she
yeah.
or he has, they've got Alzheimer's,
uh-huh.
and, you know, how are we going to do this? That may not be the case.
That might not be the case. Most often it's not. Most often there's something else going on. But so many of us are in fear of dementia
yeah.
and Alzheimer's. So if you, you know, blast in there saying, okay, you know, it is going to create a lot of panic and maybe unnecessarily. So.
Yeah. No, and you've got siblings to deal with. And
yes.
it's better that you can all have a united front, I would think.
I think so. And so the other piece of this would be, let's say you go and visit and you do want to have a family meeting and maybe it can't happen over the holidays. That's one of the things we offer as an association. That would be that care consultation mm-hmm. where we can have the family come in together and say, okay, we just had the holidays. This is, you know, we've got some concerns, and then we help them develop a plan. Because it could be just monitoring mom for a little bit. It could be, let's go a little more often, let's connect with the doctor, and we can help them figure out, you know, how to proceed and kind of get a better idea of what's going on.
You don't want to make the holidays just this, that you're conducting interviews and
right.
an investigation.
Right.
But you do want to be able to go in with your eyes wide open to what you're looking. If something doesn't look right, like you
right.
say, all of a sudden you're starting to notice some things.
Yeah. So again, it could be one of those things that, you know, medications are forgotten a little bit, and so that's creating problems. But yeah, we don't want to go in assuming anything, but we also don't want to kind of look the other way either, because some of these things
yeah.
you know, do need to be addressed. And so pulling together as a family is key. Everybody has family dynamics. We all have them. And sometimes when there is a chronic illness or something that's starting to develop, it kind of brings it all up, you know,
yeah.
to the surface. But with assistance and support, you know, we can develop a plan and pull together.
Well, and that is the key. That when we start talking about personalities, I may notice something, but you may have a brother or sister who's, you know, there you go again. You know,
uh-huh.
you're always overreacting, and
right.
you're just wanting to control,
uh-huh.
and you get into all of that, and
right.
it can make the holidays not so festive.
I know, and it's about family and being together. So yeah, it's definitely. Proceed with caution, you know, as far as that goes.
Well, and what you mentioned, Lori, and we're going to get into more of that when we come back after the break, but there's just so many things available now.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
the things that you ran over that just briefly that are available and things that your office does.
Right, right.
There
right.
really is, there's a lot of helps are available.
It's true. So it could even just be, you know, I just saw mom over Thanksgiving. It might just be a phone call locally to the office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might not be an immediate thing that day, but it could be, let's follow up. Let's get some more information.
Can you send me?
Yeah.
yeah.
Can you send me some stuff? I always encourage families, too, if you're starting to see some issues, get a spiral notebook or a journal or something. Just jot some things down of when you're noticing some things.
Yeah.
So that you can just figure out, you know, is there a pattern here? Or if you're going to take mom to the doctor or have that conversation with somebody else, you have some information in front of you, because it's easy to forget some of those details that may be important. So that can happen over the phone with us at a later time, or you can stop by the office so that we can help you weed through what that next step might look like. And if it does, it is something over the holiday, that helpline is going to be available.
Yeah. 1-800-272-3900 is the number for that 24-hour helpline. 1-800-272-3900. Cindy Bowen, who was the walk chairman for the Alzheimer's Walk this fall. As we talk about all this, Cindy, it just strikes me as all the things that Lori has talked about that are available or that they can do, that's all because of people who got involved and are able to raise money for the walk, for the walk, and that money goes to a number of different things. But well, you're grateful for people that get involved in that, so somebody like Lori can provide the information that she can.
Absolutely. You know, the research is really important, but most of Lori's services are free, and that's part of what the money goes for. So it's important to raise, obviously, as much as we can so that we can provide everything someone would need.
Yeah. Again, it's the Walk to End Alzheimer's. When that comes up again next year, get involved if you can. Lori Myers here. Cindy Bowen is here. More coming up on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We're coming up on 8:30.
Okay, listen. We got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
We're talking about Alzheimer's, especially in the context of the holidays. Lori Myers, head of the local Alzheimer's office here, is with us along with Cindy Bowen. She was the walk chairman for the Walk to End Alzheimer's this fall. We were just talking just off air about just some real practical things. And Cindy, you had a couple of great ideas, and one of them was the color of the plate can matter.
Yeah, a lot of people with dementia, not just Alzheimer's, but with dementia, sometimes they have vision issues. And if you have a white plate and you put mashed potatoes on there, the person may not be able to see the mashed potatoes. So what we found is if you use the Fiesta color plates, the really pretty blues and oranges and reds, then they can really see the difference between the food and the plate. And it helps them identify what's on the plate, and therefore they eat more of it.
Just some small thing, but just try to look around and realize that some of the things that we don't even think about could be a hindrance.
Exactly.
You also had mentioned about calling across the room.
Right. You've got a big family group and no one thinks anything of calling across the room. Hey, Mom, what's going on with this? Someone with dementia, it's better if you get around to the front of them and speak directly to them. It makes it easier for them to hear. They have a lot of white noise going on, so they may not hear you if you come up behind them. And not only that, you could startle them. But if you walk around to the front and speak directly to them, it's easier for them to understand you.
And that's a good reminder that when a person's in the room, just to kind of keep things down and just try to keep things that could be confusing to them to a minimum.
Exactly. It makes it easier for them.
Lori, yeah. You talked about name tags.
Yes. You know, I think, you know, certainly at the holidays, we think of family and we think of gatherings. And, you know, we do want to be mindful of the number of people are there. Maybe a smaller visit with Mom with maybe one or two family members will create less confusion. The other idea being, I know a lot of folks with dementia, they have some sense that these are all people I recognize. But there may be some, especially if you've got a lot of grandkids, yeah, extended family there, there may be some inability to recall names. So the idea being, just as everybody comes in, everybody just put a first name tag on. It's just part of coming into the living room. It's, you know, not a big deal. But I think it could really help that individual who's struggling a bit with names. Maybe they're still remembering the faces, but the names aren't all there. Having a name tag on, just a first name, Susie, Judy, it could really reduce that anxiety, yeah, that person in maybe in the little earlier stages where they're still social, still wanting to see everyone, but struggling a bit with the names, which is common. It may just make them feel a little bit better.
Yeah, don't make a big deal about
it. Right, and the other thing might be if you know who's coming, like the next day, you know, pulling out the photo albums and just talking about the family that's coming. I think that might be helpful for that loved one too, just to kind of give them an idea of what the day is going to look like. It can be very helpful.
No, it can help, them. I know in my father-in-law's case, there would be anxiety before and then after. I know I always heard that he had trouble sleeping for days afterwards because he had just gotten out. It had been just so much activity.
So much activity, and it's good, but it's also a change in routine.
Right.
You know, and we know folks with dementia, especially as we move into the middle stages, that routine and that predictability, because their world is so confusing in terms of what they're thinking or their perception, the routine is important. So even though for a good reason, you know, having people there in the holidays, it is a change of routine. So I imagine your father-in-law is probably responding, you know, it's all good stuff, but afterwards, just the energy to keep up and the change in routine, it can be exhausting and cause some problems.
Should you ask them a lot of questions or try to keep, you don't want to put a person on the spot.
Right. And again, just kind of knowing where that loved one's at. But if you know someone's not remembering and they may be having some trouble with their language, you know, we just want to be very positive. It's great to see you. Let's come do this. You know, asking about what do you want for Christmas, or what have you been doing the last couple of weeks? That may be challenging. So just the here and now, hey, everybody's here. This is what we're doing. That kind of conversation, I think, would be better than asking for them to come up with an answer that they may or may not be able to come up with.
What about gifts?
You know, there's some really, I got some suggestions with gifts. Everyone likes getting a Christmas present, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got some things here for the early stage person. So this is someone who's still out there functioning, doing things, but I just might need some reminders. So maybe an electric coffee pot that turns off by itself. We still can make the coffee, but maybe that last step of turning it off when we're done with the coffee. Planners, you know, we encourage people with early in the early stage to just take notes, write down your schedule for the day or for the week. So if there's a daily planner or a whiteboard or something that can allow them to use that strategy. If someone's in charge of their own medications, you know, maybe some way of coming up with a timer so they know when that next dosage needs to occur. That safe return registration, I talked about safe return, that even could be a gift. I know of a caregiver that she gave that to her husband as a gift, and she gave herself the care partner bracelet.
Yeah.
And it was a presentation and a gift, so that could certainly be the case. In the middle stage, you know, where things are progressing a little bit, you know, maybe a gift certificate to get your hair done there. Maybe music. We all love music. That reaches all of us. So some favorite music. It could be, too, that maybe we're still dressing ourselves, and that's okay, but our dexterity and some of our coordination is a little off, so maybe things that are easier to pull on and off, jogging suits as opposed, you know, slip-on type stuff, as opposed to buttons and zippers and things that are more challenging. Something with Velcro would certainly make it easier. Short trips in the car. I have a lot of folks that say, we just want to get out. They want to get out and do things. Well, maybe we can't take a two-hour drive to Williamsburg, but we could run that up to Potomac Mills or do something in the car. We're getting out and doing some things. But it's more manageable time-wise for that person. And certainly in the late stages, you know, we're talking about, again, music. Even if I'm in the late stage of a dementia, I'm still there. I'm still aware of what's going on around me. I still need a massage, a hand-holding, maybe some music in the background. A plant that's blooming that I can put next to, you know, someone could put next to me, a stuffed animal that's soft. Those are things that I think people can really still enjoy. A soft pillow, a warm blanket, those kinds of things. The tactile stuff.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
really gonna feel good. So I think those are some suggestions for the person with dementia, and certainly for the caregiver. They have so much on them as it is, and if they do want to host a gathering, just making sure that we know what our limits are. You know, maybe get plenty of rest beforehand. Ask everybody to bring something. I don't have to be in charge of the whole meal if I'm the caregiver. Making it easier for us to provide that family gathering without overdoing it for the caregiver.
No, and it's important for the family and whoever's there to realize that things like name tags that you mentioned, or any of this, everything is now changing.
That's
right. Everybody has to be willing to realize that it's not the way it used to be.
And so, you know, with that in mind, even ahead of time, if you know who's coming and they haven't been for a while, a quick email, a quick phone call about this is where we are now. This is what's going on.
This is what you're going to see when you come home.
Right. Here's where mom is still really doing well. Here's where she maybe has some challenges so that they're kind of up to speed. The other thing might be, you know, what time of day is best to have our gathering?
Hmm.
You know, for some people, they struggle in the late afternoon and evening where we might not be as successful pulling the family together at 5 or 6 o'clock. But if we do a noontime thing, mom is, you know, she's fresher, she's more rested, she does better during that time. Maybe just kind of adjusting when, what time of day we have the gathering too.
No, that really is good. Just putting all of this together, mm-hmm, and it's going to take some more planning than just showing up and
yes.
And eating or, you know, hanging around and opening presents and then leaving. There's a lot more coordination that needs to be done.
You know, it's true. And I think, too, if you've got small children or teenagers, you know, that's a special challenge for them if they're visiting somebody who
yeah.
they have the memory of grandma or grandpa this way. And now we're seeing them acting a little different, mm-hmm. you know, maybe as a parent, just kind of giving them a heads up, so to speak, on this is still grandma. She still loves you very much, but, you know, she might respond to you a little differently. And here's why, at a level that they can understand. So that it's not, they don't think, oh, what have I done? You know, so many times kids think they're the
sure.
cause of something. Letting them know ahead of time that this is, it's an illness, but they still love you very much.
How important is it for people to realize and give the caregiver breaks, even if the caregiver doesn't want to take breaks? And that
yes.
may be a challenge, too,
yes.
because I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay, you know.
Right.
He needs me.
Right. It's really hard, especially if it's a spouse. You know, you've been taking care of this person, you're a partner. Now that they're ill, well, I need to be the one to do this.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to let go and think about somebody else stepping in and also being willing to admit, I do need help. So it really is a sign of strength. I tell my caregivers, it's a sign of strength to know when it's time to ask for help. And maybe being able to say yes to an extension of somebody offering a meal or let me run to the store for you or what can I do to help you. Get very specific. Be willing to say, you know, write down 2 or 3 things that you'd be willing to say yes to so that when they do ask, you can say yes. And maybe it's just somebody coming for a Saturday once in a while and spending the day with that loved one so the caregiver can take a break. Because you can't give what you don't got, you know? And if you're exhausted as a caregiver, it's really hard to keep it up. It's too big. It becomes too big for one person.
And for the rest of us, look for ways
yes.
that you can give,
mm-hmm.
that you can do little things.
Yeah, it might be a matter of not even necessarily saying, hey, let me know if you need any help. And
right.
then the person's never going to call. Maybe be very specific. I'd like to come by Saturday at 2 o'clock. And spend a couple hours with your loved one. Be very specific where the caregiver might be more willing to say, okay, because you've come up with the idea.
Yeah.
We might be more successful.
Because the whole thing, it's just so overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. It is.
For the caregiver, it's just, the way of life has changed.
Right. And they're just doing the day-to-day, moment-to-moment care, and they don't even know what they need sometimes. I have people that come in, I don't even know what to ask. I'm so caught up in this. So sometimes it's just a matter of suggesting something or saying, this is what I'm going to do once a month for you. I will be there at 2 o'clock and I will stay until 8 o'clock. Very specific.
Be specific. That's good stuff. Well, because you think about it, everyone talks about, you know, the worst words you can hear is from a doctor, you have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have Alzheimer's because in that case, I would, you know, things just go through your mind of there's no getting better from this.
Right. So, you know, it's difficult. Just like any other terminal illness, you hear that you've got this disease and you start to think of life differently. This is not what we planned. This isn't what it was supposed to be like. So we have to really grieve that, the loss of what you thought things were going to be like. So caregivers need to be able to do that safely, maybe with family, maybe in one of our support groups, maybe with a licensed counselor. Just to be able to say, this is not the way I thought our life was going to be. And we have to mourn the loss and accept the reality and be able to get the support to see it through.
What are the support groups like around here? What's available?
We've got one each week of the month. There's a couple that are in the morning time, like at 10 a.m. There's mm-hmm. two that are in the evening. There's one in the afternoon. They're all sponsored by the association. They're all provided. There's a support group leader. It's either myself, Judy Scheib, who used to have this job. She's still very involved in two of our support groups. And we have a couple other people that are trained by us to go through the support group leader training. And they're there to provide a small, confidential, safe environment. We like to do no more than 12 if we can, because I just think a small group allows people to be able to speak and feel comfortable. And, you know, you can come the first time. You just come if you can make it. You can be an observer. You don't have to necessarily share that first time. But what I find is people are very welcoming. Those that have been in the support group, very welcoming. We're glad you're here. They want to hear from that person. They want to be able to support them. So those that are already in the group are so welcoming. It's really wonderful to see.
Well, the one good news is it seems we keep hearing more and more about these successful in the research area, and you hope that we're getting closer to something.
Yes, I do think we're getting close. There are so many trials going on. You know, we hear snippets of stories where this was working and that's working. The key is getting a larger group of folks involved in a particular trial where we can really, take a look at the numbers and go, we might be onto something. Mm-hmm. So that's why all the trial matches, all the research things that are going on are so important, because we don't know which one of those is going to be the one that we can say, okay, we need to take this to the next level. So that's where the funding for those research opportunities are so critical. And also the people to participate. Because I could have a great trial going, I'm ready to go, but I'm still lacking folks. You know, maybe they need it more individuals who have the disease, or maybe, I know sometimes they're looking for people who have a family history, but are not symptomatic. So if you go through our 800 number, which is the helpline, that's how we start the process of finding more about the trial match program. If I call there, that doesn't mean I've signed on the dotted line. I'm just calling to get more info.
Yeah.
But they would be able to tell me, what is the Alzheimer's Association working on nearby? And we have a database. We have opportunities for a database of, several hundred other trials that are going on to plug people in. That's not for everybody, but a lot of people do want that to be their way of contributing. I think we're going to get there, Ted. I really do. I think we're very close. We're just not there yet. We have to keep plugging away.
That would be a fantastic show to have you and Judy Scheib come in and us talk about some kind of a cure.
Wouldn't that
would
be just? It's a date.
It would be just. I kind of tear up thinking about it, just because it's just such a horrible, horrible disease.
I can't wait to find another job. Really?
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Oh, I'm sure every day.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of happiness, I'm sure. There isn't a way that you're able to help a lot of people.
Yes. Yeah,
but
we can't change
a lot of sadness.
We can't change that diagnosis, but people do not have to walk this alone.
Yeah.
And I think it can be very isolating when you're caring for somebody and you don't know anybody else, and you're at home day after day trying to manage their support.
Yeah, yeah. Lori Myers here, Cindy Bowen here. When we come back, we're going to talk again about just how you can get a hold of the Alzheimer's Association, and we'll run through some of those tips again for just some real practical things for the holidays. Lori Myers, Cindy Bowen here. More in Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Lawyer Meyer, Cindy Bowen here. We're talking about the Alzheimer's Association and the holidays, how to deal with that. Cindy, as far as talking to a person with Alzheimer's, it seems like just the approach you take may have to be different.
It does. Someone with Alzheimer's, you really cannot reason with them. A great point, we have a gentleman that just moved in with us at Spring Arbor, and his wife just passed. And I asked the kids, when he asked about his wife, what are you going to say? And they said, she died. You can't do that. You can't reason with him. If you tell him that she passed, he's going to grieve for her all over again. Mm. What you need to do is redirect. It's not lying. You're still being honest. You know, mom's over here doing something else. Why don't you help me do this? And just redirect him to where he's got his mind on something else.
Yeah, that's good. It's you don't have to try to set the record straight for everything, because it, like you say, they'll just relive it.
Exactly.
Right. And that kind of ties into going to their reality. So in that regard, we don't want them to relive it, but there's other scenarios where they may be talking about somebody and they think they maybe just saw them. Maybe they had a dream about that person. We could, say, no, try to get them to see that, no, you didn't just see that person. But if that's a good memory and they're enjoying that memory, sounds like a great time. And I guess I'm thinking of when my grandmother had dementia and she thought she had just had breakfast with my uncle. Well, that was the farthest thing from reality, but it was her reality. Mm-hmm. So we went with that and we said, it sounds like a great morning that you just had, and she was happy. But if we tried to reason with her and tell her how much she couldn't have possibly had breakfast with him, mm-hmm. it would have been not a good situation.
Yeah. You mentioned a number of just real practical things, and one, Lori, one of your suggestions was name tags.
Yes, I think name tags. If we're having a family gathering and your loved one's struggling a little bit with who's who, there's lots of kids there. Just as everybody comes in, just a first name tag. We don't need to make a big deal out of it. We're just wearing these today. It can really make a difference for that loved one who's struggling a little bit with the names. Maybe still remembering the faces, but once, struggling with the names or who's who, especially if you haven't seen these individuals in a while. A name tag can really reduce their stress.
Yeah.
And it's a good strategy for
yeah.
them.
Yeah. Now, for some of us who have trouble remembering names, it helps too.
Yes, I think so. And also realizing that if your loved one's at the point where too many people can be overwhelming, still have folks come over, but maybe there's a den or a study where we can have some special one-on-one time yeah. in a smaller group.
You mentioned, Cindy, the color of the plate matters.
Yeah, if you can't really see very well, and one of the things that comes up a lot is mom really liked mashed potatoes or rice or something like that. And when you talk to them, you find out they have a white plate. Well, they can't see, and so therefore they don't eat it. If you just change the color of the plate, it makes it so much more inviting for the person with Alzheimer's.
Lori, for people to get in touch with there's a national number, but
yes.
there's also the number of how people can get in touch with you here locally.
Yes. So our national office is in Chicago. That is where the helpline is located. Day or night, 24/7, 1-800-272-3900. There's no question that they won't answer. And then locally, 540-370-0835. Extension 8407. That is the local number here to my office. If I'm unable to pick up the phone, I'm either on a call or out of the office doing something, I will return the call as soon as possible. There is help locally.
ALZ.org is the website to has all kinds of really good information. Well, thank you both for coming. A serious issue, but just some great tips for all of us and how to deal with the holidays.
It's a pleasure to be here, Ted. Thank you.
Thank you both for coming. 1-800-272-3900, the national number. Lori Myers can be reached at 540-370-0835, extension 8407. That's it for Town Talk. See you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.